Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all.
Yesterday in our study of James chapter 1, we were talking about how the person that hears the word of God and does what he should is blessed. Let's continue with that today.
Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
And when the earth shall crumble,
I will plant my feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible stands. The Bible stands like a mountain towering far above the works of man. Its truth by none ever was refuted, and destroy it they never can.
There lies a danger in attending church services. Many times we go to church, we hear the right that we should do and the wrong we should not do. But if our lives do not change, it is again as foolish as the person who looks in the mirror, sees he forgot to put his teeth back in, and he goes out the door and realizes when he finally gets to work and he starts to speak that he forgot to put the teeth back in his mouth. Now, that may seem a little funny, but, you know, that's no more foolish or ignorant, nor is it what we might call scatterbrained, than leaving church and not doing what the Lord has shown us to do through his preached or taught word. Sometimes we can harden ourselves and decide, I'm not going to listen. I disagree. But there is no scriptural reason for your stand. You see, the preacher, the teacher, the evangelist, their burden is to tell all the truth. The listener's burden is to listen and do, because that is the way God wants it. Then we look at verse 25. He says, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Now, as we look at this idea of being a hearer and a doer, this word but is a conjunction, and it connects verse 25 to this main thought contained here in verses 22 through 24 of chapter 1 of James. Perhaps it's important that we consider some word definitions here in James chapter 1, verse 25. He says, but whoso looketh. Now, the word looketh is defined as to stoop down and peer in. And it's the idea not just of a glance or look, but rather it is a close inspection. This is how a Christian is expected to study the Bible, not while he's falling asleep, not just putting a marker in his Bible and taking up there the next day and not really remembering what he's read. No, it's the idea of an inspection of the Word of God, where you look at it and you think on it. And so, he that looketh, whoso looketh into the perfect. The word perfect has the idea of the highest and preeminent. So that person that gives a close inspection of the highest and preeminent law is the next word. The word law is dealing with that which is officially designated either to carry out or to refrain from doing. In other words, we call them the do's and the don'ts. And so, again, as we look at this, we're considering how a person makes a close inspection of the Word of God, looking for the highest and preeminent, officially designated do's and don'ts for their life, the law of liberty. Now, when he uses the word liberty here in James 1:25, it is the idea of freedom and independence. When you were saved, you were freed and given independence from the flesh. In Romans chapter 6, verses 11 through 14, we read this. And it's important. You might want to write down that reference and go back and look at it later. But Romans chapter 6, verses 11 through 14. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign. Now when something reigns, it's king, okay? It's ruler. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. In other words, you desire to do it, so you do it. It feels good to you. You don't do that in your life. You don't do that in your religion. You don't do that in any part. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. Now you see what he's saying there? If sin should not have dominion over you, then when he mentions liberty, when he mentions grace, he's not talking about liberty to the flesh to carry out all of its desires. He's not talking about a liberty or freedom to do whatever you want to do in the name of Christ, saying, well, listen, I can do rock music in the name of Christ. I can smoke in the name of Christ. I can drink alcohol in the name of Christ. I can do all these other things in the name of Christ. I can go to movies and watch whatever's there in the name of Christ. No. He says not to allow those things of the flesh have dominion over you as long as you allow those things of the flesh to have dominion over you, then you're acting under the law. In other words, if you're a guy that sets out there and says, hey, I have a right to listen to rock music, I have a right to listen to this religious rock, I have a right to go to the movies, I have a right to drink, then what he's saying is that you're under the law. In other words, you are a legalist. How does it feel to be called a legalist? You've been calling fundamental Bible-believing Bible preachers a legalist for a long time. Well, understand, somebody with a lot more authority than a fundamental Bible-believing preacher calls you a legalist. It's the Word of God. So, again, understand that when you look at this idea of liberty, it is an independence from the flesh. In 1 John 2:16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, in other words, if it feels good, do it, and the lust of the eyes. Oh, man, that looks appealing to me. I want it. And the pride of life. It's, hey, look at me. And he says, that's not of the Father, but is of the world. The pride of life promotes itself. And notice that whether it's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, or the pride of life, it is not of the Father. It's something that is not of God. Let me give you something that I think can be very helpful in this matter. Jude verse 4. In Jude verse 4, we read this, for there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in that verse, Jude verse 4, he says, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. The word grace has the idea of freedom and favor. Often we associate that word with liberty. Many people will say we're not under the law, we're under grace. Now they're turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. And this is speaking of the last days, something that will happen quite frequently in the last days in the churches, in the local churches, is turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. Now, the word lasciviousness has the idea of no restraint in pleasure, no restraint in what the flesh desires, what it lusts for. And so whether it's lewd or licentious or what have you, if it feels good, do it. And so what he's saying, that in the last days, religious people will creep into local churches unaware and turn the implied freedom of grace from a liberty to the spirit and turn it instead to a liberty to the flesh or lasciviousness. Don't get caught in that, my friend. Notice he says there, continueth. Continueth. What is he talking about? Continueth there back in our text, verse 25 of James chapter 1. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein. The word continueth is defined as to stay or abide. In Galatians 4:18, Paul tells them it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing, and not only when I am there with you. You may have a favorite preacher or evangelist, and boy, when that person comes, boy, you're right there. You're going to be there for every service. You come forward when he preaches. You get out and you get active. I have fun when we have somebody that is very well known and they come into our church, and boy, people get excited. You'll see some of these people that claim they cannot drive at night and they can't come to church. All of a sudden, they show up at church at night. Isn't it interesting how that night blindness affects you only on Sunday night and Wednesday night, but it doesn't affect you on the nights you go to a restaurant? Very interesting. I always wonder, one of the great things about the rapture is we're going to be there at the judgment seat of Christ. I wonder how that situation is going to be handled. Just thought I'd put that out there. That was completely free. But nonetheless, this preacher comes, he preaches, you go forward when he preaches, and boy, you go out and you get active, and boy, you make some of these great decisions. A few months later, you no longer do those things. You know you should, but you don't. But you go to church, and you know in your heart you should be doing those things. And the preacher preaches, but it's not that special preacher. Now it's just the pastor. And so you don't come forward and try to get that thing right. Now, in that day, there were men saying, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Simon. And when an apostle would come by the church, or somebody well-known, oh, they would get all excited. But when they were gone, then they may abandon that fervency that they had. What Paul was saying to them, he says, well, it's good that you, you have this fervency when I'm there. But it's good also, and it's just as good, maybe even better, when I'm not there. In other words, if they are only fervent in a good thing when Paul is there, then they have a vain and immature testimony. And Paul's admonition is, please grow up. My friend, if you only respond to a certain evangelist, and boy, you only get excited when that one is around and that, then you have a very vain and immature Christianity, and you've made him the object instead of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, my friend, this radio ministry, as well as any ministry, is not to be a display of ego or personal vanity. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, May God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.